Hello and welcome to the Dot Ball Cricket Podcast. I'm Ken Borland, and with me it's a great pleasure to have former Proteas Paul Harris and John Kent. This is the podcast that discusses South African cricket, both the Proteas at international level and domestically. It's midwinter here in South Africa, hence myself and maybe one or two others have rather ropey voices from some midwinter bugs floating around, but that means that our focus very much is on the Proteas at the moment, and they have of course just returned from India, where they had a T20 series against India, five matches. Proteas went 2-0 up, it was all looking great, and then they lost the next two games to bring it back to 2-2, and unfortunately the decider was washed out. So John Kent, Paul Harris, we'll be unpicking that series, obviously with a T20 World Cup in mind, starting in October. John, what were your overall impressions of the series?
Yeah, I think a few of the informed players did some good things. I was still always excited about what our spinners are doing. Norkeer, obviously coming back off a long injury, good to see him back on the park again. You know, he's vitally important to our hopes. Especially in Oz, where the wicket's going to be quick, hard, and getting through at 150 odds is going to be helping us. We hope Rabada and Ngidi, good to see him come back and put in a good performance after being on the sidelines for, you know, quite a long period of time. I'm still a little bit concerned at the top of the order. Bavuma, Hendricks, Pretorius, I think, to be honest, was just a makeshift due to the unavailability of Aidan Markram, who I think will just slot back in at three.
Yeah, Paul, what were your takeaways from the series?
Yeah, agreed. I think there was a bit of good and there was a bit of bad. I think going 2-0 up was huge. And then also sort of just falling away. I mean, we always knew the Indians were going to come back at us in their home sort of conditions. And they did exactly that. But there was some huge positives. I mean, David Miller's form is just next level. It just seems like whenever he wants to, he can clear the boundary, which is great to see. You know, spinners, although, I mean, I do agree with John about the spinners. I thought Shamsi was really disappointing in the series. Maybe sort of, you know, a bit rusty and didn't have a lot of cricket. But we certainly need him in top form in order to, you know, to succeed, I think, at the World Cup. So maybe a slight worry there. Aidan Markram not being able to play was a bit of a loss for us. So having him back would be good. But in general, I think fairly happy. We have got an issue at the top of the order. One thing we did realize, and we must know this now forever, is that Reeza Hendricks and Themba Bavuma can't open the batting together. That should never happen ever again in the history of South African cricket. So it's either or. So, I mean, obviously we know we have to, Themba's going to play, he's the captain. So unfortunately, I just don't see a spot there for Reeza. You can't have them batting together. So that was the one standout obvious flaw. But other than that, I think with one or two players coming back that were injured or with COVID, and I thought Pretorius did quite well. I think he staked a huge claim for that all-rounder position. Even though I don't see him batting at three, I agree with John. Maybe an odd game here or there just to change things up. But, you know, certainly with the ball, I thought he was very good. And, you know, as a package cricketer, I think he sort of put his hand up for that all-rounder spot, which was usually positive.
Yeah, I think just getting onto that, the top order discussion, first of all, obviously there were factors that were out of their control with Markram getting COVID and then de Kock also injuring his wrist. You know, losing de Kock, you're losing two cricketers, basically, so they had to make two changes because of that. And no real backup, I think, in that top order for the style of cricket that they want to play. I mean, as you said, Paul, and I agree, you can't play Bavuma and Hendricks together as an opening pair. Pretorius, I think maybe good bowlers will find him out at number three. So if we do lose Quinton de Kock again, heaven forbid, what do you guys see as the possibilities? You know, how do we fix that hole? And or if Markram say can't play,
I think Heinrich Klaassen was actually like really good. He showed some a good return to the side. He's been in and around the side for quite a period of time, hadn't quite dominated, but in a couple of innings, we've seen what's possible from him. And that's a huge positive. I think in that middle order, you got the Rassie van der Dussen. I saw an article the other day, I think Neil Manthorpe put it out there, just talking about, you know, what is the right style? And is it okay sort of going slow and trying to catch up? Because if you get out or the players around you start getting out and you sort of trying to accelerate to catch up, you know, your runs to balls ratio, you know, it might not work. So I think there was a concern about that. But I think Claassen's obviously helped us a lot. Stubbs, you know, he's got a couple of opportunities, but he hasn't really got, you know, done much so far. But obviously he's got devastating hitting toward the back end. So if you've got a Miller, a Claassen, Stubbs on form, that's very, very positive and a good sign. Obviously the de Kock up front, Bavuma, you know, battling a touch. And we know how well obviously Adam Markram has been doing at three, so really happy with that. That's a tricky situation, I suppose. If you want to be competing on the world stage, you can't be sort of having a look and giving yourself a chance, 5-10 balls in the power play. You're not going to win anything in that sense. So we got to play, you know, make some tough decisions there coming up shortly, I'd say.
So, Paul, who do we move up then to the top order if de Kock or Markram get injured? Who's your man who's got the skills to bat up front?
I think there's – it depends. It depends on what you – on how you want to go about it. You know, it isn't – I don't think there's been a sort of standout performer, maybe Milan. He's been probably the best going around, and I mean the younger Milan, not Peter. Although Peter's a very good player, just not in this format. I think that he would probably be your standout, but the problem is he hasn't been in the, you know, he's not in the squads. So, you know, in that current squad now, you know, I didn't think that Riza should have gone on the tour. I thought they should have taken, you know, some other options with them for that opening position. I think Milan's the one who's put his hand up. He's the one who said, look, I'm your guy to do it. Otherwise, you're going to have to sort of make shift. You have to find someone, you know, can a Claassen do it? Is it fair to ask him to, you know, maybe in those conditions in Australia where the ball comes onto the bat and he's very good at the short ball, that could be an option. But, you know, it's not something he's done and it's a specialist position. So if you have to ask me, I'll get the young Milan guy in there and say to him, right, Paul, your job is to smoke it from ball one. And I think he has the ability to do that. You know, he doesn't need 3 or 4 or 5 sighters. He can go in. If a ball's in his area, he can smack it. So we're going to have to relook that. It's a tough one. I think as it stands right now, it will definitely be Bavuma and Quinny. We've got to hope that Quinny stays fit and doesn't get injured or doesn't get sick. Those will be the two openers if everyone's fit and going. And I think that you should have the youngster in the wings just in case.
Poor old Tristan Stubbs, 2 ODI caps, and hasn't got a chance to bat yet for the poor guy.
Well, that's the way it goes, right? That's the way it goes sometimes. I mean, sometimes you're going to get your chance and sometimes not. Look, I think he's young. He's in the mix. He's going to get his chance at some stage. He just needs to be patient. Make sure when he gets his chance, he takes it. You don't get too many. So, you know, when he gets, when it finally comes around, let's see how good he is.
John, just we mentioned Dwayne Pretorius and a good job he did. Were you impressed by Wayne Parnell? I thought he bowled really nicely. His economy rate was just 7.25 through the series, which I think was pretty good.
Yeah, I think of the ball, he did a steady job. You know, like I think I'd like to expect more from the guys, you know, of that sort of stature. I think Pretorius has been around long, long time. Parnell the same, you know, so you hope they you know, put in contributions that are not just, you know, enough to keep them in the side. You'd like sort of really good cameos with a bat and a ball, you know, bang a few out the ground, really, you know, give us a chance and have some X factor in those positions because you really need it. I think, you know, Fekler Kwayo has been inconsistent when he's been in the side and obviously Pretorius in and out the side, Parnell in and out the side, you know, really want to you want a lot more from the guys who have come back into the side, in Parnell in particular, and win us some games there. He's given a second lease on life coming back into the side, and hopefully he can really, you know, make it count when he gets that opportunity, because he's got the skills, you know, he's got the experience, and I'd like a lot from these guys.
Just going back to the spinners, Paul, Shamsi and Maharaj both going for over 10 runs and over. Is that also a function of just small grounds over there, and India spinners didn't have a major impact either, or is that a potential problem area for South Africa, given how much we've relied on our spinners thus far?
No, I wouldn't be too worried. I said I was a bit worried about Shamsi's form. I didn't think he bowled very well. That was the thing. I don't think that Keshav bowled poorly. I just think it was sort of, you know, the grounds were small and the wickets were pretty good. So I wasn't too worried. I wouldn't be too worried about Keshav's form. But I was certainly worried about Shamsi's form. You know, he's proven over time that even in tough conditions where it's not spinning, he can be effective. And we need that. So, you know, slightly worrying, but on the Shamsi side, but I'm pretty sure with some game time, he'll be back and back at his best.
Just following up on the pitches, John, do you feel it's fair to say that the first two games conditions perhaps were more suited to the Proteas, and then as we moved to venues where they were more typically subcontinental, we saw India come back very strongly.
Yeah, I think, like Paul said, they were always going to come back very well into the series after maybe a little bit of a slow start. You know, it's hard to say that they didn't get much cricket because they've just come off the IPL. They've all been playing a lot of cricket, so they just were out the blocks a little bit slow. I think a couple of senior players on their side, like the Rohit Sharma's, Kohli's not being really around in the scene. They've been part of the landscape forever, really. But yeah, I think they came back well. I think it's just adjusting to the conditions, which our guys did really well to start with. The one was really quite a lot slower and a lot lower than what I've ever seen in India, to be honest. But they fought back well to make it a really competitive series.
So the Proteas' next T20 assignments are going to be a handful of matches in England and Ireland. Just looking at the squad that went to India, gentlemen, I think Yanaman Milan coming in for Reeza Hendricks is a change I think probably we all agree on. Are there any other changes that anyone would like to make to that squad for England?
Not necessarily. I think that is the sort of nucleus of the squad we'll take. You know, I think you'd have, I mean, I know he was in the squad, but Aidan Markram would come back in. Certainly, I'd have the young Milan guy come in. I don't think there's too many other guys that have really smashed the door down to get a spot. I was very happy for Heinrich Klaassen. I think that he's sort of shown that he's sort of, if not in the team, they're certainly close to the next in line, and shows what he can do, especially on wickets that bounce. You know, he's incredibly good at the short ball. So in Australia, he will be a force to be reckoned with. And he can sort of bat anywhere from 3 up to 7. So that's a good one. But in terms of actual wholesale changes, no. I think that, you know, we've got a pretty good squad there. I mean, if, you know, we played good cricket. We've got to realize that. We didn't maybe get the best of the conditions, I don't think, towards the end. There were a couple of wickets there that weren't great for T20 cricket, the ones that kept really low and sort of up and down. They weren't great. But in general, I think it's the nucleus of a very good squad.
Yeah, I was also very happy for Heinrich Klaassen, who I would say also is one of our best players of spin.
Yeah, I think his all-round game is exceptionally good, and he seems to be, you know, in form, hitting his well, confidence is high. Just went through a little bit of a dip, you know, a year or so ago when he got a few chances, didn't quite work out. You know, just sometimes just doesn't work out for you, and it's unfortunate the situation doesn't always work out for players, and then the form might not be quite there, but great to see him back. And like you're saying now, he just, especially some of their better spinners, he picks the length so quickly, he rocks back and he hits it over mid-wicket off the back foot, very quick on his feet. You know, those sort of keepers have got those skills and they pick things up that much quicker than anyone else. So, yeah, really good to see him in form, and we need, you know, we need everyone in the starting lineup, the guys on the fringes to be in form when you go into a big tournament. a big series in England before the World Cup as well. So we need as many guys in form here and not to be carrying any guys that are a bit iffy at any stage. But that does happen from time to time, but great to see him back.
Yeah, Klaassen was a bit of a forgotten man in South African cricket. He had that wonderful series against Australia and then kind of just slipped away a bit, as you say, John, and he's fought his way back, and hopefully he can now stay there for a while. We mentioned going to England, and apart from the T20s there, there's also, of course, a massive test series that will be played between the Proteas and this new-look England team under Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes, who are probably going to wrap up a 3-0 test series triumph over New Zealand. Paul, what have you made of this new-look England test outfit?
One thing I do know is that the English press love to really, really ramp a side up before they tear them down. So have they played good cricket? They certainly have. Is it slightly different brand? Sure, it is. Is it high risk? 100%. So I think if you bat like Johnny Bairstow, who's pretty much saved them. I mean, let's take Joe Root out of it. He's world class, right? And always will be. But if you want to bat like Johnny Bairstow, there's going to be times where you're going to look like a hero. There's going to be times where you're going to look like a bit of a clown. So, look, interesting way to play the game. It's worked for them in this series. As I mentioned, I'm not sure that Bairstow is good enough, and Stokes, and I mean, I know everyone thinks he's a hero, but I don't think these guys are good enough to continuously do it against really, really quality bowling. Like, for example, our test bowling lineup, it's really, really good. Not saying the New Zealand's isn't, but I think they've just lost a little bit of, didn't have as much zip as they'd had before in their bowling lineup. The wickets have been pretty flat, to be fair, and England have chased down some decent totals, and you expect them to chase this one down as well now in the position that they're in. So, yes, they're playing a good brand of cricket. It's fun to watch, but I think, it is high risk, and it could, at certain stages, could come tumbling down.
John, we've seen previously teams try to be very aggressive against the Proteas, and they've come short, haven't they? I mean, the Proteas seem to have that ability just to frustrate teams, to restrict them. Do you agree with Paul? I mean, are England going to come a cropper trying to be too aggressive?
Yeah, I agree with Paul saying it's over an extended period of time to play this high-risk type of game with the bat in hand. You will look amazing at times, but like Paul's saying, we've got Rabada and Giri, you've got Norkia, you've got Kesha Maharaj, and that in this team at the moment, New Zealand, not going to knock them massively, but Bolt is very good, but him, Sally, they're getting on in the years now, and their spinner's making his debut, so you're looking at a few weak links, which I think England have targeted those guys particularly well. But like you say, over a period of time, Stokes and everyone's looking like they're having a great time of it, and they're trying to steamroll the guys. And I saw another article this week saying that they play so many tests, England, during a year that they can afford to really have a bit of a dip. Our South African sides are playing two-match series, shorter series against those top three teams. And, you won't see guys like try to look at Funderson coming in and walking in and trying to wipe a few balls over mid-wicket, have a few swipes. Each innings is important for our players. And that's why you'll see all the other teams playing not so circumspectly, but just valuing their wicket a lot more. The English guys now, they're walking in and they'll hit a few out the ground, 100 off 70 balls, but, could easily have got, 10 or 5 balls, hit one straight up in the air and out, and he's lost the series. And, it means a little bit more in our shorter series. But those big three, they're tending to play in this brand here, not sort of, by the seat of their pants, but, against our side, who's got that extra bit of quality, and then we can find them coming a cropper in this vein.
Paul, when you were part of that Proteas side that went to number one in tests, you guys used to love it when teams try to dominate you and attack you, didn't you?
Yeah, you did, because but I mean, you also knew that they couldn't do it for an extended period of time. When you got sort of, you know, the likes of, you know, Steyn, Morkel, for a long period of time, Pollock, and, you know, you had Andre Null, you had Mackay and Tini, you know, when you got those kind of, and Kallis as well, when he was keen to bowl, you know, you've got those kind of guys bowling at you. Yes, certain sessions you will be able to have a crack at them and get on top of them. But it's not going to be long before you're going to get one wrong, because they get the ball in the area often enough, and it's coming at a decent pace. So I think that's going to be the England key, is if they're going to play a brand of cricket like this, they're going to have to be consistent in how they do it. And secondly, they're going to have to find ways to take on pace, because I know that what I would be doing, I'd be coming sort of shorted a few of their players and then getting it straight back onto a good length, hitting a channel and not missing that channel. And that's what our bowlers do incredibly well. So it will certainly be fun to watch. It'll be two different brands, styles of cricket. I think, you know, the South Africans generally, in Test cricket especially, I know we're talking T20 these days, but in Test cricket especially, like to sit and wait and try and play that game and not sort of come out too aggressively. Wait until sort of, you know, you're 300 plus and then sort of move the game on. So two different types of cricket, which would be quite fun to watch. I think England in white ball cricket are going to be a force to be reckoned with. I know that they have gone, they have dipped a bit, but they've got some quality players. And trust me, their top three, four don't block many.
Yeah, Rabada, Nokia, Janssen and Gidi, certainly lots of firepower there. But I fancy with the games being played end of July, August, the pitches could be a bit drier. And I think Maharaj could be a really key player, and Simon Harmer as well. John, South Africa, they have the edge when it comes to spinners, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. At this point, the amount of confidence they've shown in our spinners has been good. I think England, you know, on the other hand, they've got a guy like Leach who they seem to be finally backing, and he's done quite nicely in this current game. But they haven't always backed him as much. And when it comes to the crunch, we will utilize Keshav, and our back him. It's going to be obviously a little bit trickier, as Paul will know himself, bowling to a left-hander such as Stokes. That's going to be a key matchup, I think, in that test series with Keshav against Stokes, who's not going to really let him settle. Keshav will get it out into the rough there, and it should be a really good contest, I think. Leach is not a, you know, he's not a walkover by any means. He's got good control. Mentally pretty tough as well, hanging in there at the bottom end with the bat as well. He's seen him do it a few of the last season or two. Really good contest, I think, the Stokes and Maharaj one.
Paul, any closing thoughts from you?
No, look, I think, you know, if you look at our team sort of 18 months ago to now, I think it's really hugely positive. I mean, you know, we beat India here in South Africa. We've had some good results. You know, the guys have got some confidence. We've got some informed players. If we can take those informed players, if we can get sort of our combinations right at the right times, win some key moments, this team could really, I think, surprise a lot of people. Nice not going into a tournament as a favourite. I don't think we are. I think people are quietly taking notice of us because of how well we've played in the last little while. But we'll have to get, I think a few things will need to go our way. I'm not sure we're going to be the best on paper at the World Cup, but we certainly are forming some sort of team dynamic. Guys seem to be getting on really well. There's something there. You know, you can see when a team is almost there, maybe not quite there yet, not quite the finished article yet, but you can see that they're almost there. This African team are almost there. If one or two things can go their way, as I said, you know, we could be lifting our first piece of ICC trophy for a very, very long time.
Yeah, well, there certainly is lots of very exciting cricket for the protest and their fans to look forward to over the next couple of months. And Paul, as you mentioned, at the moment, the England team are the darlings of the British media. But perhaps if the Proteas can get stuck in early and inflict a couple of defeats on them, we know how quickly that media can turn as well. So we look forward to watching all of that. Thank you, John. Thank you, Paul, for being with us today. And thank you to you, our listeners. And don't forget that you can subscribe and also follow us on Twitter. Send us any questions or anything you'd like us to discuss, and you can follow us on @dotballpodcast. Until next time, keep well, and thank you for listening.